Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
Team Hardpoint EBM Porsche number 99 comes into the pits after more contact. Shea Adam.
That is EB getting aboard that car as well. Earl Bamber, a lot of damage to the nose. Rob Farrell had a pretty decent size off at turn five. Managed to get the car pointing in the right direction and back out and running once again. But that car will be in the pit lane for a significant amount of time as they are going to work on it. They're getting the blocks to be able to put the car up on the air jacks and actually have mechanics underneath the car. That tells me that there is a lot more work to be done to that car than meets the eye, but they have to finish refueling before they can put the hood back down and then get to work properly. So Team Hardpoint right now are dealing with that issue. Meanwhile, their sister car, Christina Nielsen, still out on track, still pounding around, and we are due GTD pit stops here shortly. That should mean that the 88th pit stop is going to be a lot more congested with the sister car in the box at the same time.
And before we get to those GT Daytona pit stops, Jeremy Shaw will be smiling very widely indeed. Kirkwood, Hindman and Sellers, first, second and third at the moment in GTD. And they all have one thing in common, Jeremy.
Yeah, they do. They're all Team USA scholarship winners, which is kind of cool, isn't it? I must admit. And there's a whole bunch of Team USA scholarship winners in this race. Actually, I haven't counted out how many, but another one is running in third position in overall. That's Dane Cameron. And yeah, cool to see Kirkwood, Hindman and Sellers. Yeah, they're all in kind of different stages of their careers, perhaps, but they're all youngsters. They all were youngsters who went to, two of them, most of them in England to race in Formula Ford cars. Brian Sellers actually went to New Zealand along with AJ Allmendinger back in 2001, I guess it was, and had a lot of fun down there. They ended up actually being in contention for the New Zealand Formula Ford Championship, which is kind of cool. So yeah, it was a long time ago, it seems now, for Brian Sellers. God, it's hard to believe it was 20 years ago. Good gracious. That's amazing, isn't it?
He's going to love that you've just told everybody that.
It's worse for me, trust me.
How many years of Team USA now, Jeremy?
This will be 32. It was 1990, the first one. So, 31 years, but the 32nd scholarship winners will be hopefully selected this year.
Well, keep us up to date with that because it's always something we enjoy following here on IMSA Radio. By the way, Conor DeFilippi did come into the pits a few moments ago, a lap after his BMW Team RLL teammate. And there was a driver change there, Conor finally being hauled out of the car share.
Conor, another one of Jeremy's Team USA boys, who actually had dinner with you and Eve not too very long ago in the grand scheme of things.
We've met most of them down through the years, certainly in the last decade or so, I would say.
Yeah, fuel and tires for the BMW Bruno Spengler put aboard that car. Rasmus Lind is in the pit lane for Performance Tech out of the lead of LMP3 one more time. I would imagine that will be a driver change as Rasmus has been in since the beginning. He's got two choices to hand over to, either Matteo Llerena or Dan Goldberg, making his debut not only in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, but at the Sebring 12 Hours as well. So that's an exciting option there for Performance Tech. And who else did I see came into the pit lane? Oh, nobody that time by. But we do have a lot of cars up and down the field, particularly in the GT area, where their first number is a 5. And that typically means they owe me a visit.
Thank you, Shea, for that update from our VP Racing Fuel Paddock Report. So who's due in next at the front of the field? Let me consult the lap charts, remembering, of course, that the last one in will be the 50. Actually, Vautier is the last one. Now, he's only completed 8 laps of the stint. Ricky Taylor in the next couple. Dane Cameron in the next couple, Kevin Magnussen in the next couple. So all of those top four will be in. And then it will be the Simon Pagenaud driven car for about 5 or 6 laps leading. Tristan Fortier, remember, off the lead lap now. And the first car off the lead lap, and one of only 2 DPIs, of course. The problem earlier on with the right-hand side suspension for Pete Waterani cost them 4 laps in the number 31 Cadillac. I'm very impressed, Jeremy, at the overall pace we're seeing here. What is the lap distance record at the 12 hours of Sebring? It's the magic number. I know you will have it there somewhere.
Yeah, 348 laps, in fact, which curiously has been achieved on 3 occasions in DPI. In 2017, it was equaled in 2019 and last year as well.
As it stands right now, we're well ahead of that, as you might expect, given all of the green flag running that we've had, and we've only had indeed one intervention by the very lovely Corvette from the safety car point of view. And as much as we love that C8R leading the love looking at it leading the field around, we really hope we don't see too much more of it. So at the moment we're well ahead of that game. I'll keep an eye on that. I've written down 348 on my important piece of paper. Class leaders then, Conic Minolta, Acura number 10, LMP2, PR1 Matheson Motorsport, Antonio Garcia in the pitch here, leading GT Le Mans.
Fuel, tyres and potentially a driver change, as I did see another helmeted driver up on the wall. There was no driver change for WeatherTech Racing when they brought the Porsche in. Jam Jam stays aboard, the number 79 in the red, white and blue. And we have had a couple of GTD stops just now. We've got Corey Lewis aboard the number 1 Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini. Also into the pit lane, the 75 Sun Energy 1 Mercedes. Mikkel Grenier brought that car into the pit lane, waiting to see who takes it back out. Christina Nielsen is out of the number 8 after doing her opening gambit. And Bia Figuero is into the Porsche. And happy belated birthday to Bia. She just celebrated the other day. And that has actually triggered a slew of other people to come in. We've got Michael De Casada in the number 28 Allegra Mercedes. Also down the lane, the number 83 LMP3 machine Rodrigo Salas driving the Wynn Auto Sport car. Since the beginning of the race, I would imagine he'll be getting out of that car at this point. And it was indeed Jordan Taylor taking over the number 3 Corvette.
VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Report takes us to 10 hours to go. 2 hours of racing having been completed. A number of additions I've noticed down towards turn 1. A couple of scissor lifts there. In fact, 3 or 4 of them, which appear to have some spotters on them there, rather than on the old metal grandstand, or bleacher really, that used to be on the entrance, Jeremy, to turn 17 on driver's right. But there's clearly some spotting going on from up there. Across the line, the Lexus that is leading GT Daytona into turn number 1, and just putting a lap on one of its competitors there, Trent Hindman, only half a second behind. It's the NSX that it's just gone by, and that is the Magnus with Archangel John Potter, number 44 car, that has just lost a lap to its class leader. Speed Racer livery from Daytona partially carrying over. Notice on the side of that car. Ricky Taylor is in the pit lane, and that is spot on time. That is at the end of his 20th lap. And Shea Adam is watching the pit stop for the Conic in Minolta Cadillac.
Fuel, tires, and out, Ricky. It's Philippe Albuquerque's time to play in the Acura around Sebring International Raceway. So they are doing the driver change very calm, no urgency whatsoever. Philippe actually walked around the side of the car as if he was going for a walk with his wife and kids. That was very calm, cool, and collected. Fueling is the last thing they're waiting on. The tire change is done. The door closes for the driver change. Car comes off the air jacks and just waiting for every last drop of that VP racing fuel to get in the tank. Away goes Philippe. So everybody, stand back from the fences just a little bit. Philippe Albuquerque is scary fast around Sebring.
And Shea, we had the team hardpoint car in for some remedial work on that damage. Did we mention how long that took?
I'm pretty sure they lost 4 laps doing that work. Earl Bamber is now out on the racetrack. But what's concerning me is that the Sun Energy 1 Mercedes came into the pit lane with Mikhail Granier behind the wheel exactly on time as it should have been. It's still in the pit lane, so I need to figure out what's going on with that car. They've been running super well. And remember, they have Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona winner Mauro Engel aboard. So by dint of that, he's points leader in the championship. They are second in the championship, having finished second for Sun Energy 1. And then in terms of the Michelin Endurance Cup points, well, it was looking pretty good for Mauro Engel too. This is going to take him right out of it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that car in the pit lane, but I don't think it's gone behind the wall yet. That's the 75 AMG Mercedes we are talking about. It had moved up from 11th to well inside the top 10. I think it was running as high as 7th at one stage. But clearly some issues there, Jeremy.
Yeah, that's disappointing for them. Of course, Mauro Engel, because he has switched teams, he is driving with this team, having driven for the Windward Racing Team, the opening race at Daytona. He comes into this race day, not the weekend, as the championship leader, because, of course, that car qualified 4th. There are now qualifying points available in the IMS WeatherTech Sports Car Championship new for this season. So he was the clear championship leader by 28 points over his co-drivers from Daytona, Russell Ward, Phil Ellis, and Indy Doncha. Windward Racing, of course, not here this weekend.
Yeah, that was a toe in the water. And they pretty much dived in and got soaking wet and took home a whole load of Rolex Daytona Cosmographs with them. Their stock in trade, if you will, is the Michelin Pilot Challenge, which was yesterday. Front of the field, we've been predicting it, and in they come. Kevin Magnussen already in and out, Chip.
Yes, indeed. Fuel tires and a nice clean of the windshield for Kevin Magnussen. So now he's back out around the circuit. And we've had a couple other notable driver changes in this last couple of moments. Oliver Askew not yet out of the number 7 for 47 in the LMP3 category. Remember, this is the car that started from the pit lane. They are out there. They are pounding around. And they were in 2nd before the pit stop. So just wanted to mention that. But Patrick Long is now aboard the number 16 Wright Motorsport Porsche. All 3 of their drivers have shared in that vehicle. And who is the other one I saw? Oh, Lexus's. Lexus have done pit stops. GTV leader is in the pit lane right now, Kyle Kirkwood. Fuel and tires for that car. I don't think they're going to put Jack in quite yet, but they did take Aaron Tielitz out and put Kyle Kirkwood in the first stop. So if they're going to cycle through all 3 of their drivers, that would be now. The other Lexus leaves in Robbie McGinnis for another stint, though, behind the wheel of the number 12 machine. So they have not yet cycled through all 3 of their drivers yet either.
Oh, in the pit, Simon Pagenaud. Now, that feels early to me, Jeremy, by a good couple of laps.
Yeah, by 3 or 4 laps, absolutely right. He just retaken the lead of the race, the 6th lead change in this race so far. And, yeah, that's certainly a surprise. I would expect him to stay out another 4 or 5 laps, or 3 or 4 laps anyhow, before bringing that car onto pit lane. But he had been running directly behind the number 55, so I would have thought that should have enabled him to save a little bit of fuel. Interesting that he should come in a little bit earlier than we had anticipated. But meanwhile, another change for the lead in LMP2. Thomas Merrill has found his way past Scott Huffaker, so now it's the Winona Sport entry, number 11, that leads in LMP2.
What I couldn't work out there, Shea, is whether the Ally Cadillac number 48 has actually got to its pit, all the way down to its pit. Oh yes, it has. It's rolling again and it's come straight back out. So not a very long pit stop, but as Jeremy said, at least 3, possibly more laps earlier than we might have expected. Any news from the team yet?
Nothing from the team yet as to why the stop was so early. I did just get confirmation, though, from Turner Motorsport. They are back out on the racetrack from behind the wall at the garage. It was an alternator. They've changed it. They are now, well, seven laps behind the next down car, which is the Earl Bamber car number 99, which in itself is to one lap behind the 75 of Nicole Grenier, still working to find out what happened to the Sun Energy One Mercedes, which lost two laps on that pit stop. So a lot going on right now.
Yeah, it's a shame. As Jeremy said, they were running very nicely indeed. Pagenaud has stayed aboard the Cadillac, the number 48 car, and it sounds reasonable enough from the onboard microphone. But well, keep an eye. It's its fourth pit stop, remember. It had to want to change the nose early on. But it's rather lost that little advantage that it was getting. And it had been pulling out a wee bit with Simon Pagenaud at the wheel. We'll see where it comes round. When it comes round, should be coming across the line shortly, just coming into turn 17. Now, Albuquerque has gone through in the 1-0 Cadillac, the 1-0 Acura, excuse me, and the 0-1 Cadillac is Kevin Magnussen. Cameron's gone through for Acura. And Pagenaud goes through in fourth position then, ahead of the Mazda by about 7 seconds. It's not all bad, but just a query on that one. Jeremy will be keeping an eye on that to make sure, see if we find out what's happened, and to make sure that they're not going to only be doing 18 lap stints from now on. That would be a disadvantage.
It was, yeah, because the Mazda once again did 22 laps on that stint for Jonathan Bomarito. Most of that's, I think that's the only one who did more than 21 laps on that last stint, actually. All the other contenders did 21, but as you say, only 18 for that number 48 car. Curious.
Yeah. Again, you know, it could be something simple as I'm not feeling it on the tyres or something like that. And that could be the issue. 52 wins LMP2 car in the pit lane for full service. And driver change. Also the Win Autosport blue and yellow LMP2 in the pit lane as well. So that is first and second in LMP2 in the pit lane and going out as they came in. As Pete Durrani pulls into the pits, I'm pausing just for a second. Win Autosport out first, yes. Driver staying aboard. Ben Keating in the 52. So that was a driver change. It was Scott Huffaker, I think, who brought it in. Pete Durrani getting out of the red and white wheel and Cadillac. Nice. Yeah, well, he doesn't share either. People doesn't share Cadillacs. It's not, Joey doesn't share food. People doesn't share Cadillacs. He had done 20 laps as well on that stint.
21,
because he hasn't quite, hasn't tripped the line. Excellent. And yeah, heads
each
back
of his
out.
Stops have been 21.
So which makes that 48 Ally Cadillac even more odd, because the other Cadillacs haven't had any issues in that respect, Jeremy. So we will have to try and try to find out, or B, keep an eye, pretty much both of those, actually, as to what's going on. It's still Corvette number 3 now. Jordan Taylor leading in GT Le Mans. Dan Goldberg for Performance Tech leads LMP3 on the pit stop cycle, and Kyle Kirkwood is behind the wheel of the number 14 Vassar Sullivan. That is the Lexus number 14, isn't it, that leads GT Daytona, and Philippe Albuquerque now behind the wheel of the overall leader and leader in DPI by about 16 and a half seconds here. Albuquerque doing a cracking job. Kevin Magnussen racing as one of two, Jeremy, one of a couple actually, of very experienced rookies in IMSA and at Sebring, therefore, this year. Kevin coming in from Formula One, really announced himself pretty impressively at the Rolex 24 Daytona, and is taking to this sports car racing thing rather well.
Yeah, absolutely loving it. You know, he was very grateful for the time he spent in Formula One. This is a completely different, of course, and enjoyable in a different way, but he certainly loves the atmosphere that there is in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. You know, there's a lot more camaraderie than there is in Formula One. Well, there isn't any camaraderie in Formula One, basically, is there? Even amongst your your own team.
But that there could is be the here. Worst, actually, Jeremy.
Yeah, exactly true. But he's loving it. He's thrilled to the fact he's got a really, really competitive car now, which he hasn't had, of course, in Formula One since he's been there, or most of the time he's been there. And so, you know, he's now, he knows he can challenge for wins. It's a completely new discipline for him to learn, but of course he has a big advantage there in that his dad was the guy called Jan Magnussen, who has a huge amount of success in this series. Jan had brought Kevin to quite a few of the races back through the years when he was much younger. So Kevin, you know, he knows how it works over here. He's been to most of the tracks, even if he hasn't been on them in a racing car. And he's using that experience and all of his dad's prior experience to get himself right up to speed with a minimum of delay.
It was Felipe Nasr who took over from Peter Durrani, as I called him earlier on. So we've got two new drivers here, even from what we were expecting, because we've got Nicky Taylor and Peter Durrani. I've already coined those this week, as has been noticed on the Radio Show Limited Listeners Collective. Hello to everybody over there on Facebook. If you want to get us here in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre at IMSA Radio, hashtag RSL Sebring. And a reminder, at 1 o'clock on Tuesday Eastern Time, that's 5 o'clock in the UK, another hour of Hagerty Inside Track and the Responsible Adult working hard to get some more quality guests for another hour of chat from the headline makers from this race at Sebring. The Hagerty community pages, we'll make sure that we post all the links, ask your questions and get involved there from 1 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon Eastern Time. That's Hagerty Inside Track. Looking forward to that again. So Jordan Taylor now having pulled out 9 seconds on the chasing BMW of Bruno Spengler. The red car back into second place now. That was just a second and a half, not so very long ago. But remember, the 24 car had to do a drive-through for incident responsibility. By the way, if you're just talking about Kevin Magnussen there, if you're in Denmark, you might not know this, if you're listening on RS1, but the race is being covered in Danish by your same broadcaster who looks after your F1, and it's Jens Henson along with John Nielsen and Michael Christensen, I think, is helping out as well this weekend. I know Jens won't be listening because he's too busy talking and describing the race, but best of luck to them for their show. Not often I say go and tune away, but if that is your language, those guys doing a cracking job for the Danish broadcaster. Trying to get a few more races for Jens and John to look after as well through the season, and where they don't clash with Formula One, it's possible that that might happen. We'll give you more news of that for those of you in that part of Scandinavia. And with the movement of Le Mans, of course, to August, it does mean that there's no clash now with the Le Mans and the Canadian Grand Prix, presuming that goes ahead. But at the moment, Le Mans on a free weekend for endurance fans in Denmark, of which I know there are many. The K-Riser campsite was not too far away from our broadcast position. Shea Adam, time for a update from the our pit and paddock with VP Racing Fuel pit and paddock reporter. Who do you have?
Hopefully we have Renger van de Zande. Renger, heck of an opening stint out there. You wanted the lead of the race from the green flag and you got it. How is that 0-1 Cadillac handling?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, the car is just rolling really nicely. I was just having a really nice chill out two-stint run out there, and you know, it was nice to bring it into the lead and give it to Kevin, and we're having a good time. It was a bit rough out there with the 31. I don't know what he was trying to do, where that wall has been there for 40 years by now, so you know, it's going to squeeze on you, but it's okay, and the car wasn't damaged at that point. We're still pedaling away, and it's such a long race to go, so no risk. Keep going, and the car feels good. I'm a happy place here.
You said you're chilling out there, but everybody keeps resetting the fastest lap times. I mean, we're seeing the race lap record broken time after time. Does it really feel chill behind the wheel? Because it looks frantic on TV.
Yeah. No, it's never chill in Sebring, is it? With all those bumps, and it's a tough track, and it always gets hot. So it's never really chilled out. But, you know, this track has so much evolution. You know, even when you go testing here, sometimes from the morning to the afternoon, you can have 3 seconds of a difference. So sometimes the times will tumble and become quicker, and sometimes you will lose a lot of lap time and the car feels horrible. So I think every time it cools down, it's going to be good. The time's going to be faster. So probably the track temperature just dropped a little and we're all speeding up. So, but so far, so good. And, you know, Scott still has to do his thing before I get into it again. But I can't wait to get myself back into the race.
How much of a help is it? I know this weekend you've got your other half with you and your kids in the RV. How much of a help is it, particularly at a racetrack like Sebring, to be able to step away from the race and spend some time with them?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's fantastic. And, you know, with the COVID stuff, it's not easy to bring them along. And it was quite a while in the U.S. right now. So we're having this RV where we can pull back, actually getting a bit of a massage going after the first few stints. Keep me gummy beer style, and then, you know, have a bit of lunch and go back into the car. So it's awesome to have them here. It's really, really special.
Hey, Renger, tying off in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre here, cracking opening to this race. You guys haven't double-stinted your Michelin tyres yet, but you will have been looking at them with your Michelin tyre engineers. What situation are they when they're coming off the cars?
I mean, they are made for it to do it, the double stint. To be honest, I don't think we need to do a double stint because we are okay. We saved enough sets in practice to not be double stinting now in the race. And at the end of my stint, I could still do the fastest lap time. It's always a combination of how much fuel is ran out of the car during the stint and how much the tires are still alive. But for sure, double stinting won't be an issue. It's not as hot as it normally is here in Sebring, I can tell you. So that helps a lot, but the tires are holding on very nicely.
Well, your car in and out of the pit lane and heading back out onto the circuit, and we'll let you the Mustang sampling car. I'll hand you back to Shea for another quick question before we get back to the action.
Yeah, awesome.
How hard
have
is
fun,
it
guys.
For you to
have
be
fun.
Able to disconnect
with the from the race? I mean to be honest, now I'm watching you guys, I'm hearing you guys talk and about the race, and it gives me a lot of insight about all what happened, you know. So sometimes when you're in the car, you're not getting all the information that it's about the race. And, you know, also always checking my buddies like Jeroen Blekemolo or some other Dutchies or the people that I like on track to see how they're doing. And then, you know, like you say, the family is here just having a chill out with the big one. The small one is killing the big one right now, actually. But that's just the excitement of the day, so it's fun. It's good fun, and like you say, it's nice to disconnect a little bit for an hour or two before going back into the car.
Renger, thank you so much for chatting with us. Good luck, mate. And we'll keep trying to bring you some insight.
Awesome. Yeah. Keep talking. Give me all the insight because I'm catching up on it. Thanks, guys.
Have to find more secrets for Renger now.
Yeah, we will. VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock Report with Renger van der Zander. Thanks to him for joining us live from his chill-out zone at Sebring International Raceway. Thanks to our technical team up in London for making all of the technical bits and pieces work. The car that came in and out as I was glancing around was the Mustang sampling car, not Renger's. Tristan Fortier-Shear staying in that car, just coming to the end of its outlap now.
Yeah, as expected, Luc Duval started out that car. He did, in effect, a double stint. It appears as a triple stint because of an additional trip back down the pit lane. But Tristan Vautier expected to stay in for a triple, this beginning his second stint in that number five Mustang sampling Cadillac. We did have another pit caller that I saw, LMP2. Who was it? It was somebody in LMP2. I believe maybe Ben Keating? No, Timothy Bourret is back aboard the number eight of Startworks, Tower Motorsport with Starworks, as he and John Ferrano are the only two drivers who have shared that car so far. I thought I saw Gabby Aubrey getting in, but he has yet to drive.
Thanks, Shea. Shea Adam, VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock Reporter. Jeremy Shaw with me, John Hindhoff in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Albuquerque just gently being pulled back by Kevin Magnussen here. A couple of tenths that lap, a couple of tenths the lap before, Jeremy. Coming down to under 11 seconds now, that gap at the front of the field. And then eight, nearly 9 seconds back to Dane Cameron in third for the MSR Acura. And about the same back again to the Ally Cadillac of still Simon Pagenaud. So the top four within 30 seconds here. So still very, very much all to play for in these opening hours.
Yeah, that's right, John. And really, there's been very little change in the relative gaps between the top five cars that remain on the lead lap. With that pit stop, number five car falls back off the lead lap again. So Tristan Vautier is certainly got some work to do there with that team. He lost that lap during the previous stint. He gained it back briefly when the other guys pitted before he had to make his own pit stop. Again, that number five car turning 21 lap stints, as pretty much all the Cadillacs seem to be doing. It's only the number 55 Mazda that's able to run a little bit longer, and that's now in fifth position and a full 45, almost 45 seconds behind the lead. But as we talked about all the way along, just keeping that car in contention is all you need to do at this stage in the race. In LMP2, Thomas Merrill leads now for the number 11 car, Win Autosport. The number 52 car, about half a dozen laps ago, they both made a pit stop. Merrill stayed aboard the number 11, and number 52, Scott Huffaker, handed back to Ben Keating. And Ben Keating now is running in the third position, and behind Ryan DL. And it's Jim McGuire back at the wheel of number 22 car, having taken over from Wayne Boyd just a little while ago. So Jim McGuire looking to get more of his stint completed before he will hand over the number 22 car to Wayne Boyd. And Guy Smith, of course, making his return after a lengthy absence to the WeatherTech Sports Car Champ. Actually, he's never driven actually a WeatherTech race, Guy Smith. So in the sort of modern era of IMSA, he's making his debut.
Yeah, you're right, actually. That's a good point. We think of him down through the years in a number of machines, obviously, most famously with Dyson in prototypes, but not in the new era of IMSA. Very good point, Jeremy. Does that count him as a rookie again, then? He's a WeatherTech sports car rookie. No, it's a shit.
Yeah, does he have to carry stripes on the car?
Yeah, he's got to carry an extra set of mats in the car as a rookie. That's what happens. Said nobody ever. Still, the cup phone holder thing, the phone holder that goes into your cup holder from WeatherTech, is still the cleverest, simplest and cleverest thing I have ever seen for a car. That is absolutely, or a truck, brilliant. It's called cup phone. F-O-N-E. It's brilliant. You'll find that on the WeatherTech site. I don't have one because we can't get them in the UK, Jeremy. And, of course, it's rather difficult for me to get to the States and bring anything back particularly.
Yeah, I need to get one of those. You're right.
It's a brilliantly simple idea. It really is.
Well, yeah. There was the Gap Guard was another good invention that was invented by another racer. He escapes from it now. It'll come back to me, I'm sure. But that was a sort of a bit of polystyrene or foam that fits between the centre console and the seat side. Because how many times have you lost something down between the seat and the centre console, the central tunnel of the car, the prop shaft tunnel, if it's a rear-wheel drive car, or if it isn't, it goes much further down as well, doesn't it? Really difficult to find a darn thing.
So yeah, and it's normally something that you need at that exact moment. So you try and pull your wallet out your pocket and it falls down there because you need a credit card to pay a toll or fill the car up with petrol, or you drop your phone down there when it's ringing and you hadn't Bluetoothed it, or you've got an old car like me that doesn't have Bluetooth, and you've pulled up to take the phone call and the first thing you do is drop it down the side of the seat and can't get your hand around it. Yeah, I like that. Very good. Cup phone is what I'm talking about. Go and check it out on the WeatherTech site. It is the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, second round of the 2021 Championship. So far, so good for our calendar, with the Rolex 24 of Daytona running when it was meant to. This is the Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring, presented by Advance Auto Parts, on its correct weekend. Also the second round of the Michelin Endurance Cup, with still, about 90 minutes before we start handing out points for that. And Shea will keep us in the loop. Just keep an eye open for people going slightly different on their strategy, those who are concentrating on that. There's one of our Porsche keys to the race. Great battle in LMP2. Really enjoying watching that at the moment. And got to say, Jeremy, tip of the hat to IMSA. Asked their competitors what they could do in times that were significantly better than we've had in the last 14 months. What they could do to increase LMP2, what would bring more people in. The teams fed the information back, IMSA did it, and even given the ridiculous situation that we find ourselves in globally now with travel, etc., and how difficult that is, we have got five cracking entries here, and we saw at Daytona as well a pretty decent battle in LMP2, and long may that continue here in IMSA. I like seeing the LMP2 cars here.
Yeah, I do too. They are great, and it's certainly good to see them having a good little battle there at the front, and a long way to go, and it's the gaps between the cars are going to change a lot more in that category than they do, for example, in DPI, because it is a pro-am class, so you have to have bronze and silver rated drivers at the wheel of those cars, and by definition they're not as quick as the golds or the platinums, because they are the more experienced drivers. We've got a new fastest lap, ergo a new lap record, by the way, last time round for Kevin Magnussen, 146.297 then for the Danish driver. That's a full second quicker than the old lap record, which is a 47.4. Remarkable speed we're seeing by all of these cars. In fact, all of the prototypes have gone faster than the old lap record during this race.
Really? Wow. So what's changed then, Jeremy? Is it just the temperature? Is it just that the track is in a better position? Is it that Michelin have learned and the teams have learned more about the Michelin tyres? What is it?
Yeah, no, I mean, conditions are great right now. It's rare that we come to Sebring and see such perfect track conditions, I think. I think that's what it boils down to. The weather is just conducive to good lap times, and there's been very few people off the track. Say that. There goes
Jeremy.
Onto it.
Turn 16.
No, he was spinning before I said that. He really was.
okay, fine.
All of a sudden, though, that gap from first to second overall has come down to 2.5 seconds. It was it's come down pretty well. I'd said it's fairly stable, but it hasn't been. It's come down a lot in the last few laps, particularly with that fastest lap of the race for K-Mag.
Yeah, I'd said it was about 12 seconds and then it went down under 11, and that was when we were talking about it not being too not too much changing, and now it's down to a second and a half at the front of the field, 1-0 and 0-1, a rather binary look to the top of the timing screen at the moment. Also a good battle going on for the lead in GT Daytona, heading down towards turn 17. Oh, something's just come off one of the cars in front. It was the Lamborghini, the Grasser Lamborghini, I think, or even the car that was ahead of that. That looked like a fairly substantial piece of bodywork that ended up in the grass. It might have been the prototype even in front of that, which is blue and red. I'll try and work that out as she gives us a little more news about Special K, Kevin Magnussen.
Well, I'm indebted to Ryan Smith, once again, the Corvette racing guru of all things PR. He sent me a text and said, imagine that, a Magnussen going fast around Sebring. It's true, Kevin has it in his blood. Whether or not he's been here before, he just innately knows how to go well.
Update from Sun Energy One as well, I can give you. And thank you to the team for getting in touch. Intermittent ABS and traction control on the AMG GT3. That is the number 75 Sun Energy One car. The Gradient team working on that, but intermittent is the horrible word there, Jeremy. And these GT3 cars are getting very, very complicated now. And even those ABS and TC systems are far more sophisticated than even 3 or 4 years ago. They are really full race systems now in these cars. And of course, the drivers, the cars are built with those in mind, and the drivers need those cars to keep turning consistent lap times. And it's all very well, you know, if it's there or if it's not, but if it's sometimes there and sometimes not, that's probably the worst of all situations.
Yeah, really irritating. Electrics, you know, the bane of everybody. We can't blame Lucas anymore either, because the systems are a lot more sophisticated nowadays. But look, we've got a battle for the lead all of a sudden. A couple of laps to go, by the way, or last lap around. The lap time for the leader was at 1:53.0, and a couple of laps before that, Magnussen turned at 1:46.2, so 7 seconds difference. That explains why all of a sudden Kevin Magnussen is right on the tail of Philippe Albuquerque in that leading car number 10 for Konica Minolta Acura team.
Right up there now.
Game on.
Yes, Jeremy. Turn the gas up. We are starting to get a rolling boil here in culinary terms. Onto the back straight with relatively little traffic ahead. The next car they will come across, which they'll catch quite quickly, is Dan Goldberg of the Performance Tech Motorsport Ligier, number 38. That's an LMP3 car. It's the second place car in LMP3. Actually, that's just gone past one of the GT cars. Didn't quite see which one that was. I think it was Lars Kern in the Pfaff Motorsport Porsche. Yes, it was. So that's the next car that they'll catch, which they are heading towards now. Target acquired, I think, is what you would probably say for Kevin Magnussen and the Cadillac Chip Ganassi Racing machine, as Simon Pagenaud is back in the pits in the number 48. And that again is early. That again is early. That's even earlier than the last time. They've got a fuel pickup problem or something like that, haven't they, Jeremy? It's getting worse. They were doing 20, 21, then 18. That's, I think, is only 16 laps.
That 81 glass in on 65. Yeah, 16 laps. So, yeah, that's not a good sign for the number 48 team.
Shit, already on that. I can hear the wheels, the cogs turning. Battle for the lead in GT Daytona, still Lexus versus Wright Porsche. They're coming down to turn 17 now. Battle for the overall lead goes past Lars Kern. They're into tower turn. And ahead now is the Dan Goldberg Performance Tech Motorsport Ligier. Leader goes through. Second place car can't get past the red, white and black LMP3 car. So that's a little bit of a break for Philippe Albuquerque. This is all going to come to an end shortly, not because it's going to end in tears, but they've only got another couple of laps before they come into the pit lane. But what a stint this has been from Kevin Magnussen to close down the leader. There was one lap, Jeremy, lap number 79 for the leader, Philippe Albuquerque, which was a 1:53. So that was the slow lap. So something happened on that lap. Sorry, it just took me a little longer than I thought to flick back and find that. So that was where quite a lot of it went. He'd been pretty solid up until that point. Ran about the 49s, 50s. He did a 47 on lap 71 and a couple of...
78. I mean, yeah, I mentioned that, the fact that 153, that's where most of the time went away.
Exactly.
This couple of laps, so Magnussen has been fantastically quick, and it's going to be really interesting to keep an eye on that. The number 31 car, by the way, it's now three laps down, because that will be probably the next... No, it doesn't need a pit stop just yet, actually.
No.
But he's only three laps down at the moment. And back up in, no, he's still, yeah, three laps down. He's back into, up into 10th position overall in that number 31 car. Been a good good run by those guys, certainly, to get themselves, you know, a little bit closer to where they need to be. They're still going to need some full course cautions. They're not going to be able to make up three laps or four laps in total on under green flag conditions. They're not that fast, but they are very quick.
And just for reference, the leaders are on the back straight at the moment, and the 31 car already heading down towards turn 7, so out of Big Bend. Now, they were not so very long ago when they were both on the back straight together at that part of the lap. So 83 laps completed now by the leaders, half a second. Huge traffic jam ahead of Philippe Albuquerque. Past the Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini, the number 25 BMW in there as well. And now going past a P2 and a P3 car, the two wins cars, livery cars together. One in P2, one in P3. So I think we had all classes in the race there coming out of turn one together. At least one example of each of the three one, two, three, four, five classes in the race. And still Philippe Albuquerque holds on to his lead. In fact, extended it a little bit through that traffic phase as Kevin Magnussen is caught on the wrong side of one or two of those other category machines that he was trying to drive around in the 0-1 Chip Ganassi Cadillac. Got a bit of room now before they catch up with the hard point Porsche number 88. After that, it's the leading Corvette, the leading GTLM car, the Corvette number 3. That's the caliber of traffic that they're catching up with. Still no change in GT Daytona at the front of the field, and one might think that Pat Long in the Right Motorsports Porsche will know every detail of Kyle Kirkwood's Vassar Sullivan Lexus at the rear end. He's been staring at it for pretty much all of this stint, Jeremy.
Well, no, but he's closed up on it, in actual fact, and he's been with him now for a little while, just inching closer and closer and closer to Kyle Kirkwood. Of course, having the number 16 car was kind of off kilter after its penalty at the start, but we know how fast that car is, number 16 car right now driven, as you say, by Patrick Long, and he's closing in. He's not going to do anything rash at this stage. He knows he's got a fast car, long, long way to go, but he has inched a little bit closer to Kyle Kirkwood all the way through this stint. And third place now is still Corey Lewis. He's fallen back quite some way in the third position. About 15 laps ago, he was only 5 seconds behind Patrick Long. Now he's 20 seconds behind him.
Then we've got another 10 laps of that battle before they need to pit. But the leading cars are into the pit lane. Shit, Adam. Hello, Shit. Well, we've
We've already had Juan Pablo Montoya into the pit lane, or I should say out of the pit lane, as he has installed himself aboard the pink Meyer Shank Racing Acura. The number 60 into the pits comes Philippe Albuquerque, and out of the pits goes Philippe Albuquerque aboard the number 10 Konica Minolta Acura. Also into the pit lane, we are expecting any minute now Special K to come back. It will be a driver change. So public service announcement for my mom, who is now in love with Scott Dixon. He's about to get aboard that 01 machine for his first stint of this race. Also into the pits of note in LMP2, Ryan Dial starting a triple stint aboard the number 18 Era Motorsports LMP2 machine. And hello, Guy Smith, you are no longer a rookie to WeatherTech competition, as he is now aboard the 22 for United Autosports for the first time.
And that, I presume, was because your mum, hello Diane, watched the Scott Dixon documentary recently, was it?
Yeah, she might have watched that a couple nights ago and then called me and said, Scott Dixon is a really nice guy. And I said, yeah, Mom, I know. I've been interviewing him for a long time. I still feel that way, too. She goes, no, but he's just a wonderful human being, and his wife and his kids. Oh, my goodness. And So, Scott, you've got a new fan, and Emma, for that matter, too. My mom is a fan of yours as well. And K-Mags is into the pit lane. Perfect timing. Scott Dixon doesn't want to hear us talking about him, so he gets behind the wheel of the Cadillac to go do what he does best, which is drive a race car. Interesting to note, Scott Dixon has never stood on the podium at the 12 Hours of Sebring. He's been fourth three times. So hopefully today that luck can turn around. Perfect execution by Chip Ganassi's boys and girls, just as you would expect. And a fun little note on this car. Dan Binks, who was longtime Corvette crew chief for the number 3 machine, his eldest son, Phil, is currently the crew chief that 01 machine for Chip Ganassi. Both of them achieving their first times as crew chiefs at age 28. Happy belated birthday, Phil.
Ah, great stuff. The Binks name continues in the IMSA pit lane. Very, very good news there. Second generation. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Excuse me, John.
No,
yeah, the Mazda also into the pits on lap 85, so 21 laps on that stint for Jonathan Bomarito. The previous one was 22. The previous stint for Oliver Jarvis also had been 22. So that's kind of the norm now. Occasionally, the Mazda can stretch it out to 22, but mostly it's 21 laps for a stint. That was the case for the erstwhile leaders, number 10 and the number 01.
Yeah, and that was a change then, was it for the... Was that a change for... It was a change from Cameron to Montoya, which we did report,
yes.
And Jonathan Bomarito has changed to Harry Tinknell. That's what I was trying to get to, but my adult brain wasn't allowing me to. I knew what I wanted to say. It's just the connections weren't quite getting made there. The 01 car then back out into the traffic with Scott Dixon behind the wheel, as Shay told us. So we're starting to cycle through another set of pit stops. It'll be another 40 minutes before we see the leaders back in. And Shay, we haven't got any problem for the 48 Cadillac, even though it's come in a couple of laps short. I'll ask you that again after we've had the GT Le Mans stops, because as soon as we start this, of course, everybody comes in at the same time. Here we go.
And way to try and trick me, Philip Eng. He's got his helmet on. He jumps over the wall. Nope, he's just changing out the drinks bottle for Bruno Spengler. So it will be another stint for the Canadian DTM star behind the wheel of the red BMW. That one is the 25. For those of you keeping track at home, we did also just have a pit stop for the 24 BMW. That one is the black one. Augusto Farfa stayed aboard there. We are waiting for Jordan Taylor and Matthew Jaminet to come down the pit lane next. Jordan, let me check my notes. Should be staying aboard because Antonio did a double, and this is Jordan's first stint. And also of note, a few minutes ago, we had a pit stop. Nick Tandy, three times a winner of the Sebring 12-hour in the last 3 years, is now aboard the Corvette. So fans of his around the world can rejoice. He's been out on track for almost half an hour now. As, Jam Jam and Taylor are the only two next ones to come back down the pit lane. But that was a perfect stop for BMW. Fuel, tires, And yes, that tricky drinks bottle change by Philip End.
Yeah, very good. One of a number of people who have tweeted at IMSA Radio, Gidazda Poster, asking what the story is on the 48. You have been trying to speak to the team, Shea. What's the news?
Yep. They are not reporting that there is a fuel pickup issue of any kind. And actually, when they did do that pit stop, although it was a bit earlier than anticipated, they spent less time in the pit lane than normal. So perhaps they were just trying to top off. And of course, the other thing that was pointed out to me, they are currently third in terms of the Michelin Endurance Cup. They are chasing down second, who are currently the battling pair, second and first. The 10 leads the Michelin Endurance Cup with 18 points over the 0-1 for Chip Ganassi Racing on 13. But that 48, right now they have one goal for this year. They're not doing a complete season. They want the Michelin Endurance Cup. So they have started to do the back timing to get their car into the pit lane so that it can be first on track when that 8-hour mark elapses.
Yeah, they are just doing the long races then. So Daytona here at Sebring, Watkins Glen for the sale in 6 hours, and the Motul Petit Le Mans. I feel I've missed one out there.
Watkins, Petit, Sebring, Daytona.
Yeah, okay, four, yes. So that is the Michelin Endurance Cup. First of the tranche of points being handed out to those in about an hour and a quarter's time. We're coming up to another clock hour, so I'll do a quick rundown and remind you that you're listening to IMSA Radio with live coverage of the Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring presented by Advance Auto Parts. We'll start in GT Daytona, where the lead has just changed as I was about to do the rundown. Wright Motorsports and Pat Long with an overtaking manoeuvre in a place that I'm not sure I've seen that many, if any, overtakes completed before. That was Pat Long going up the inside at turn 16 of Kyle Kirkwood. I'm not sure Kyle was expecting that. So a new leader. Porsche leads in GT Daytona. It's Pat Long from Kyle Kirkwood, Wright Motorsports from Vassar Sullivan. Paul Miller Racing in third are about 20 seconds further back. Lars Kern with another Porsche. That's the Pfaff Motorsports Porsche number 9 in fourth position, is another 20 seconds further back. Then it's the second of the Lexus, Vassar Sullivan, Heart of Racing, Aston Martin. They're having a decent battle, but they're another 20 seconds or so further back. And that's your top six in GT Daytona. In LMP3, Dylan Murray leads for Riley Motorsports. He's got about half a minute on Dan Goldberg in the Performance Tech Ligier, the number 38 car. Then it's Austin McCusker in the 47 Motorsport Duquesne. That's the number 7 car, another 20 seconds further back. In GT Le Mans, it's Corvette by 46 seconds from Mathieu Jaminet now in second position for WeatherTech Racing, ahead of the two BMWs led by Spengler in the 25 and Farfus in the 24. In LMP2, it's Pat Long, by the way, is rather making his escape from Kyle Kirkwood after taking off the lead in GT Le Mans. LMP2, it's Wynn Autosport by a minute and 13 seconds, but we're in pit stop cycle for those guys. But Ben Keating for the PR1 Matheson Motorsport in second. That's the 52 wind coloured car. And in third, it's Dwight Merriman for Era Motorsport in the number 18. That is your rundown as we've just gone past another hour. It's just after 1 o'clock at Sebring for the 69th annual Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring.
IMSA Radio, your route to American sports car racing.